Cheerscast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
And now, Carla, there is something you must do for me.
Oh, Mama, I know what you're going to ask me. We're just going to get into that same fight we had the last time I was here. It's just too much to ask. I can't do it.
It's the family tradition.
No.
I did it. My mother did it. Her mother did it. Her mother did it before her.
I said no. I don't care who did it.
Her mother did it.
You wanna go where everybody knows your name?
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me once again from Back to the Bins, please welcome back Paul Spataro. What's up, Paul? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me back. I always enjoy being on the Cheerscast. I'm getting a little sad because we're getting late in the series, and there's only going to be so many more opportunities to come on.
I am both sad and relieved by that.
Well, having done a series which went through episode by episode, which I'm talking about Listen to the Prophets, where we did Star Trek Deep Space Nine, I know exactly what you're talking about, because there's a sadness of it ending, but there's this sense of accomplishment of finishing it that you need to have. Because if somehow, you know, you run off and you don't finish it, it would be devastating.
I thought it was an accomplishment when I finished the Secret Origins podcast, which had all of 55 episodes, and now we're a month past episode 200. Listeners, as we're recording this episode, I just recorded a guest spot on Paul's Back to the Bins, where we recorded episode 700. So I certainly don't need to talk to Paul about doing a lot of episodes for a show.
Oh, yeah. It's fun, and that's why we do it.
Right, right. Anyway, folks, welcome to the new year, and our show is getting into a new year, too, because we are up to Season 9, Episode 13, Honor Thy Mother. This one written by Brian Pollock and Mert Rich, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, January 3rd, 1991, first episode of 1991. Carla gets a phone call that her mother is on her deathbed. She's not exactly eager to see her mother one last time, though, because the last time they spoke ended in a heated argument. Sam drags Carla, literally at a few times, to her mother's house. Mama Lozapone asks Carla one final request before she dies, to uphold the family tradition of naming one of her children after her father and her mother's maiden name. Why should such a request lead to bitter acrimony, you ask? Well, in this case, Carla would be naming her son Benito Mussolini, same name as the historical fascist leader of Italy during World War II. Carla's son Gino volunteers for the name change, thinking it would be cool. Before Carla can talk him out of it, she gets another call that her mother is on death's door. Carla, Gino, and Sam rush to Mama Lozapone's house, but it's too late. A bereaved Carla promises to fulfill her mother's wishes, at which point Mama Lozapone springs up fully healthy, revealing that her dying was an act to motivate Carla. Sam points out that this was a terrible thing for Mama Lozapone to do to her daughter, which is the one thing that can bring the Lozapone family all together, punishing Sam for insulting their mom. All right, Paul, what did you think about this one?
It's weird because I've seen Cheers so many times, and this was must-see viewing for me back in the day. I mean, that was their theme, must-see TV. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any strong memories of this one, which surprised me. So it almost felt like it was a new episode watching it, which, you know, that's like, in its own way, a very minor dream come true, that you get a new episode of a series that you love, that, you don't remember. I really enjoyed watching this one. I got a big kick out of this episode. It almost feels like it's giving us another view of what the Tortellis could have been.
Yeah.
To see Carla's family. You know, there were things about it that just jumped out at me, not the least of which was that her mother was played by Seda Thompson, who was the very, very serious mother on the TV show Family back in the 70s, or maybe, yeah, I guess the late 70s that was. And here she's playing a comedy role and showing some good comedy chops. I really got a kick out of that. The other one that I got a big kick out of, just, noticing it on the screen, was the one who played her sister, She had two famous roles for me. The first of which was when she was on Seinfeld, and she played the daughter of the unemployment insurance lady who George went out with on a date to kind of try and keep his unemployment insurance coming in. And she was also Howard's mother's voice on The Big Bang Theory.
Okay. All right. Didn't know that one, but yeah.
And
yeah.
Tragically, she passed away from cancer while Big Bang Theory was still coming out. Oh, and they actually had the character, even though you never saw her. She was never, you know, seen. She almost had the, what you call it, Vera syndrome.
Right, right. Yeah.
Except you heard her, she would yell at Howard from the other room and you'd always hear it. But, you know, when she died, they actually did an episode, you know, where Howard was in mourning and, you know, after her being so creepy with him and everything that, you know, he was so upset at her having lost her. But anyway, those things and just the whole Italian family thing and being from an Italian family, I found the show to be pretty amusing with that. It doesn't matter how wrong the mother is that, you know, Sam can't insult her. Yeah. There's things like that that I just, you know, I just love.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot during this episode. I just thought it was great.
Sam being our eyes into this world, our viewpoint character into the world of the Tortelli family, and this side of it was a nice little touch because, of course, like the stereotype of just throwing food at him and just forcing him to sit and eat, which he's all too willing to oblige, and then having to be the one that sort of points out the reasonable response to this whole situation. But that's going too far. So I like that little touch. But yeah, this was a nice little insight into her family, and we get the second appearance of her brother, and I'll get to that in a minute. But like also, you know, for a long time we only knew her son Anthony, who was on the show for many years, and his girlfriend, then his wife, and we had the Nick part of it. But now we're starting to meet some of her older children. We see Gino now, and maybe next season, I think we'll meet Serafina, her daughter, who is played by the actress Leah Rimini, who eventually had like a big career. She was on King of Queens. So there's a lot more of her kids kind of to come in some of these later episodes. So it's also funny that it's a strong Carla episode. And of course, Carla at the beginning of the series for the first couple of seasons, Carla episodes weren't as strong. I think it took them a little bit longer to find their footing with her. For our teaser, we have a stretch now of teasers set outside the bar, like on the street outside, where they filmed either on location or on a set, but they're outside in this one. Norm pulls up in front of the bar. He parks in front of Cliff's postal truck. Norm takes the parking ticket off of the truck and puts it on his own window and then goes inside. And at which point a traffic cop walks by and puts a new ticket on Cliff's truck. What'd you think about this one? There's no dialogue. It's just one of those other little brief little visual gags.
Yeah, that's exactly what I took it. I mean, it wasn't one of the most memorable ones, but I do like the fact that we're seeing a little bit of the outside. That became such a famous tourist spot to go see. Oh, this is where, you know, the exterior of Cheers. And then always so disappointing when you went inside and saw that it looked nothing like the set of the show. But the exterior was spot on, obviously, because they filmed it there. So it's kind of always cool when they get to show it. And, you know, they the last time it was on, we were talking about how there was some sort of issue going on with them putting parking meters and this is almost kind of a follow-up to that now that Norm has got to put,
feels like,
you know, the thing on to keep from getting a ticket. And I have an interesting, or at least in my mind, interesting total tangent to go on with you. Before I forget to mention it, they recently started showing repeats of the TV show Hot in Cleveland on Catchy Comedy at 9 o'clock. My wife and I were watching all in the Family episodes from 8 to 9. And then at not from 9 to 10, they show episodes of this show Hot in Cleveland, which was kind of like the child of the Golden Girls.
Okay.
Cause it's Valerie Bertinelli and Jane Leaves. Mm-hmm. I always forget the other actress's name, and Betty White was also in it. But anyway, they had an episode where they find themselves in Amish country, and they find themselves in an Amish bar, and they say, when Yoder gets here, he's like the elder and he knows everything. Oh, you know, there comes Yoder now. And who is it? it's George Wendt. He comes walking in, and when he walks in, everybody yells, Yoder! And he sits down, and he gives a Norm-like answer. He's like, you know, whoa. Something like, oh, hey, Yoder, what would you say to a beer right now? Something like that. And he gives his pithy response. And I just got such a kick out of seeing George Wendt doing that.
I never heard of that. That is awesome. I'd heard of the show. I've never once seen it. But that's awesome. I love that a little bit.
Yeah, I had never seen the show either until they started showing it there. And it was just convenient that we would have the channel on and we started watching. It's actually a fairly entertaining show. I think it's pretty good. So we've been watching some because it's, you know, there's not that much sitcom activity on nowadays. No, not like it used to be. So, you know, when I see a sitcom that I find to be amusing, I'm happy to watch episodes of it. And again, to see George Wendt on it, especially, you know, in light of his recent passing, it was a little bit of a gift to see something I had never seen him in before.
I honestly don't think I could tell you more than, I don't think I could name five TV shows and like regular television programming on the big networks like CBS, NBC, or ABC today. I don't know anything except what's on the streaming services.
Like, yeah, where they used to dominate network TV. You know, now there's a lot of game shows and such because I think they're cheaper to produce.
Right, yeah. After the credits, we see the guys are talking. Norm mentions Haley Mills as twins in Parent Trap. Sam mentions Elizabeth Montgomery in Bewitched. Cliff mentions Patty Duke. And Frasier supposes that they're talking about actresses who have played their own lookalikes through trick photography. And they're like, no, fictional twins we'd like to see make out with each other.
<It's> like, yeah, I've always loved the sidebar conversations they have In their own way, they're kind of, there's a little bit of reality to some of them.
And Frasier can't help but overestimate them a little bit, give them too much credit, thinking about it. But it's like, nah, you're too, even that is too highbrow for these guys. We find out that Woody put a coupon for a free beer at Cheers in the Boston Merchants catalog. And Sam hates the idea. He says it may attract new customers, but they're not paying. They're just deadbeats and freeloaders. And Norm says, yeah, you don't want people like that in here. Rebecca comes in. She says that John Allen Hill wants to talk to them, and it's important that they work together. Sam thinks John says things to deliberately get under his skin. And then John walks in and just does his classic entrance, Sam. And so it's like, see, is the night. And it's just, this kind of becomes a running thing. And I love it. Like every time John enters, he draws the name out. He makes Sam sound like it's three or four syllables somehow. It's just.
Yeah. I don't remember when, but at some point he has a discussion with him about it. It's like, you know, how do you say the word ham? It's like, ham.
Ham. Yeah, that's coming up later. And John says that he doesn't like Cheers being in this coupon book. It might attract the wrong crowd at Melville's. Sam, of course, is offended that John thinks Cheers patrons aren't necessarily classy enough for John's restaurant. And then Norm shouts over. He's like, Sam, settle a bet. Which one of our breaths smells like tuna? And he says, the loser has to go through the spanking machine. And Sam, over by Jenny's like, what do you want me to walk over there and sniff your breath? And John goes, I can tell you from here. It's
like, not totally realistic, but yet another great tangent that they went on.
Right. Yeah. We've already talked about John Allen Hill's first entrance on the show, and he's precious every time. So then Carla walks in and Woody tells her that he has a message for her as he's like pulling something out of his pocket, this slip of paper. And he's like, it's from your brother. It's about a family meeting. And Carla takes the slip of paper from him and just tears it off. She wants nothing to do with this family meeting. And he's like, well, actually, that was my paycheck. Here's the message. So Frasier has this little bit where he thinks that family meetings are a worthwhile opportunity for generations to get together and exchange ideas. And Cliff is like, was your family like that? And he's like, no, I lucked out. My family didn't want to be close.
Yeah, they had to work in, well, although that kind of fit a little bit, but they had to. I think at one point, you know, he says something like that his father had died or something. And then when they had to show Frasier, they had to kind of retcon things.
Right. Actually, implying that there was an emotional distance between the family actually makes sense in this context. That's a continuity that works with Frasier. But yeah, the whole nature of his parents being dead or scientists was a lot different than what we ended up finding out in the spinoff. Carla hangs up the phone angrily. And she says her mother had the dream. And when she says it, she does this gesture with her hands. It's sort of like revealing something, but also a little bit like the fingers kind of twirling. And they're like, what is the dream? And she's like, the death dream. And she does the gesture again. And Rebecca repeats it. She's like, what is the death dream? And she kind of like does the same thing with her fingers. And Fraser's like, yes, and why do you always do this when you mention the dream? And he does the same gesture. And Carlos's like, well, you just did it. And Fraser kind of like looks at his own hands and like, carry on. I'm sorry, I stopped it. So Carla explains the details of the dream. She's like, everyone in her family has the death dream. You see this coffin in a room and the lid swings up. And Norm's like, what? You see your own face? She's like, no, you see feet because you're looking at the wrong side of the dream. Of the coffin. So, and then she sees, then you see your own face, and she describes it all bloated and blue and pussy. And then the eyes snap open, and then you wake up screaming. And everyone who has this dream dies soon thereafter. Frasier, of course, has to contend with this. He says, death is an earthly scientific passage predicted by massive physical injury or progressive bodily deterioration. There is as little validity in a supposed death dream as there is in the cliched image of death itself as a grim, bloodless ghoul whose bony finger reaches out to tap you on the shoulder when your number's up. And of course, as he is saying this, we see Lilith walk up to him from behind, from the pool room, and just tapping him on the shoulder. And he turns around and goes, ah, and just screams at the sight of her. She's like, it's time to go. And he's like, don't do that, woman.
I'm going to just turn over all my cards right now and tell you that was my home run for the episode. That had me laughing out loud when it happened. And it was the kind of thing that, you know, you could see it developing because you saw her walking up behind him and you could see what was coming. And it was just so well executed that it made me laugh every bit as much as if I didn't see it coming.
It's my home run too. It's by a wide margin. It's the funniest part of that, but it's so good. And you're right. Like, you know what's coming. You know that, oh, he's describing her as looking like death, but even then his scream is so over the top.
And just, yeah, I mean, yeah. And Lilith, I tell you, Bebe Neuwirth, it was so good in that role. It was just the way she could play it. You know, I'm just thinking like when she first came on and she was totally, you know, with her hair pulled back and everything. And then they had to make her up to make her more attractive to Frasier. Like she just could fit with whatever they did with her. And her deadpan delivery is just so on the money. Perfect character.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sam tells Carla to go see her mother. She doesn't get along with her mother. And Norma's like, you don't get along with anybody. And Carla's like, well, this is different. And also, shut up. It's like she takes a second to realize what he said. And then she says the last time she saw her mom, they got into this terrible argument over some family thing. And Carla has vowed never to go back there unless she was dragged. So she asks Sam to drag her. She's like, I want to go. You have to drag me. So Sam starts to pull her back and she pretends to resist. She's like, no, I don't want to go. She's kicking and thrashing as if she's putting up a fight.
And then we get what makes that funnier is we duplicate it later in the episode.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But Sam and Carla, they go to her mom's apartment and they are greeted by Zia, the hugger, kind of like an elder member of the family. Zia is played by Oshana Marr. We see the sister that you mentioned, Angeline, who was played by Carol Ann Soucie, who you already mentioned, but she was also in like every TV show from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And then her brother, Carla's brother, Sal, played by Randy Pelish. And this is his second of two appearances. His first appearance was earlier in this season. Carla's brother, Sal, asks if they want a beer. And she's like, this is a solemn occasion. He's like, malt liquor? Zia says that the mom had the dream and she does the same gesture with the hands. Carla, is she sick? She doesn't have to be sick. She had the dream. She'll be dead soon. She'll be dead soon. Have you had lunch? Like that matter of fact. Carla greets her sister who calls her a bitch and she calls her a slut. And Zia's like, it's nice to see them talking to each other again.
It's like that. Yeah, just the whole family dynamic is hilarious. I love the way they are the extreme stereotypes, but there's some element of the familial relationship that just kind of fits, and it becomes amusing because of the stereotype and because of the extreme nature of how they're portrayed. But it's, again, I think it really is what I said, that it almost shows you the potential that Tortelli's could have had if it had been done right.
Yeah, absolutely. Carla is in her mom's room, where she's full of lit candles, and her mama assumes that Carla came for money. She's like, eh, she calls it out, and Carla's like, no, it's me, it's Carla. She's like, oh, my money's on the dresser drawer over there. Carla says that she is sorry they fought. Mama accepts the apology, but not so she wants to give Carla the ring that her mother gave her and her mother gave her before that. And she gives Carla a pawn shop ticket. She hocked it. Mama wants Carla to do this thing, but Carla refuses. And she said, Mama did it. Her mother did it. Her mother did it. Carla's like, I don't care who did it. Mama's like, her mother did it. We find this family tradition. Every woman in the family, and Carla has this great moment. She's like, everyone in the family who has children and just stares daggers at Angelina, her sister, has named one of her sons with the first name of her father and the maiden name of her mother. And Sam, who has just been eating spoonfuls of spaghetti that Zia has forced him to eat, Sam thinks it's no big deal. He's like, it's just a name. Well, it's easy for him to say. He's like, what's your father's name? Benito. What's your mother's name? Maiden name. Mussolini. He's like, yikes.
I like that when Gino comes along, he doesn't understand the significance of the name.
That's my runner-up for my favorite part of the episode, yeah. Carla refuses, and she's like, why do you do this? She's like, because back a couple of years ago, there was this other Benito Mussolini. And she's like, remember him? And Mom's like, I don't see why one fascist dictator should ruin it for the family. They all attack Carla. They all come down on her, and she storms out. And Sam is just sitting there still with his plate of spaghetti. He's like, all right, there's my ride. I should get going. Back at Cheers, Sam explains to everyone, and he's like, how can Carla be expected to name one of her kids after Benito Mussolini? And Rebecca's like, well, you know, it could have been worse. What if her father's name was Adolf? And he's like, yeah, and her mother's maiden name could have been Manju. He dodged a bullet there.
Not quite the necessarily the person that Adolf Hitler would have been.
Right, right. I was trying to think if there was any controversy or any reason why a connection to Adolf Manju would have been bad, but I think the joke is really just Woody not getting it, that Woody would think of Adolf Manju before he would think of the other Adolf. Yeah.
I think it's just, that's exactly it. It's to show you Woody's obtuseness.
Yeah. Woody takes four more, Rebecca takes four more free beer coupons thanks to Woody's stupid coupon book. And she's sorry that Woody overheard her say that. And he goes on this rant about how stupid he is. And Rebecca's like, please stop. You're giving me a stupid headache. Carla comes in and she says that she went home to lie down and started thinking about how she would feel if she was dying. And Serafina refused to do her dying wish. It's like, oh, so you apologize to your mom? She's like, no, I yelled at Serafina. Well, that's what I'm taking it out on her. She asked the kids if any of them would change their name to Benito Mussolini. No one said yes, but she got two Madonnas and an MC Hammer, which is, yes, this episode was really 1991.
Yeah, really.
John comes down, Sam, and Sam hates it when he says that, and he's like, I'm not defensive. But John came down to apologize for his behavior before. He was out of line telling Sam how to run his business in a certain way. And to make up for that, he wants to buy a round of drinks for everyone in the bar. And to pay for it, he takes out a bunch of the coupons, the coupon books. Like, this should cover it. And he spreads them all around. And he's like, oh, Sam, and I want one of the special martinis that I've heard so much about. And he reaches it for his pocket. He's like, oh, I'm out of coupons. Oh, well, never mind. He just walks away up the stairs. And it's such a cruel thing to do.
Well, I like the fact that they're not trying to make him into just a nice guy that Sam dislikes. You know, they throw shots at each other back and forth, and he gives as good as he gets. And I like that.
Mm-hmm. Here's where we get Gino. Gino comes in, and he is played by Josh Lozoff. This is his first of four appearances He was also in the movies Clueless. He was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one. And he was in an episode of The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Gino comes in and he said he was talking about this whole situation with MC and the Madonnas. And he's agreed to be Benito Mussolini. And she's like, do you know what this means? Do you know who he was? He's like, well, I didn't before, but Anthony told him all about it. He's like, Ma, this guy ran this his whole country. And you know what they call him? They call him Il Duce. The Duce. He just has like this biggest smile on his face. And he's kind of like looking like strutting, like he's picking up women. He's like, hey, it's me, Duce Tortelli. How you doing, man? That is the moment from this episode that I always remember. Like everything else about this episode, I just remember Duce Tortelli, the Duce.
You almost wouldn't mind that as a nickname.
That's almost, yeah, if you could spin it that way. And the first time I saw this episode, I had never heard of Benito Mussolini before. I didn't know the context for this. Like, I was too young. I didn't know what Il Duce meant, but just like hearing him say that, the Duce, I was like, what is that? And that sounds fun. They get another phone call that Carla's mom is going fast. Carla says that she refuses to go. And Sam is just like, all right, Gino, you grab her feet. And they pick her up and they drag her out. And they're just kind of carrying her. And they're carrying her really low. And she's like, I refuse to go. No, stop, stop. God, could you pick me up a little bit higher? I'd like to have some butt left by the time I get there. They get in. There's a sheet over Mama's head. Carla goes to the deathbed. She swears in her mom's memory she'll rename her son. And Mama springs up alive. She was never dying. She did this to trick Carla, and everyone was in on it. And Angelina's like, we listened to our mother. And her brother Sal goes, and we thought it would be funny. It's like, this cruel family. Mama has a great line. She's like, she had to trick her. She goes, you're as stubborn as your grandfather's mule, which, incidentally, you were named after. Mama orders Gino to kick Carla. Carla tells Gino to hit Mama. Mama tells Sam to throw Carla out the window. And this is when Sam has to break in. He tells Mama, he's like, you're asking your daughter to name this child after a very bad man, and you faked being dead? He's like, these are not your typical mother things. And she's like, are you saying I'm a bad mother? And Sam, of course, probably should have just said, no, of course not. I'm just saying there's a time and a place for some traditions, and you have to have reasonable expectations. Yeah, in this case, yeah. And the whole family just like turns on him, like, and they like, you dared insult my mother in her home with her food still in your teeth or something like that. And they come at him like zombies or vampires, just like closing in on him. It's like same as Carl climbing up onto the Murphy bed to like get away from them. And then we just cut away. And Woody, he's back at the bar. He hangs up with Carl and he tells him, he's like, Gino is now officially Benito Mussolini, but we'll call him Gino for short. And Carl said, this is the first time they got together for dinner in a long time. They sang and danced. Fraser has this line, he's envious, and sometimes he wishes he was part of an ethnic group. It's like, it's just as well, I hate hugging. And Lilith comes up again and tells him it's time to go. He doesn't scream, but this time he's like, I sure married the right woman, because he hates hugging. And our final little moment, we go back to the house one last time where everybody's gone home, and Carla's about to say, she gives Mama Liz a pony a hug and a kiss. She's ready to leave. She's like, oh, wait, I forgot something. She goes back in the bedroom. She opens the closet door where the Murphy bed is pushed back in, and Sam is trapped back there. He's like, Carla, please let me out. She's like, it's family tradition, Sam. You cross Mama, you sleep in the wall.
I like the fact that Carla kind of turns against Sam, just like the rest of the family, that she falls right in line. You insult Mama, that's it. Even though her mother has been nothing but horrible to her this whole episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still family above all.
Right. It's a fun episode. There's a lot of good stuff. Again, like as I was saying at the top, for being a Carla episode, there's a lot of fun. Like, and I think you're right. Like, there's so much energy injected in, even with just a few little lines, we get a sense of her family and this part of her family, when really we were limited to her kids and Nick. And those were great things, but they kind of went as far as they could. And obviously the Tortellis was a failure. But if they had done something like this with these type of characters and this kind of family dynamic with Carla at the heart of it, could a Tortelli show with her in the lead have been more successful? I think maybe.
I think, I there's no question that the Tortellis was a huge failure, unfortunately. But I think that may have been part of the reason was that it didn't have a heart at the center of it. So you needed something to do that. And I think Carla could have added that. I also think, just outside of Nick Tortelli, there was nothing about that show that stood out to me. Whereas these characters, even though they're so, they have such little screen time in the grand scheme of things. But I think if you had given them time, like even with as little as they had, I think we saw enough potential that they could have played with them and made this into a fun show.
For Norm's tab, he had 5 beers this episode, which brings him up to 887 for the series at this point. For the employee of the week, I thought it was pretty obvious. It was a Carla-centric episode, and she handled it really well. I give it to Carla. What did you think?
I think you have to give it to Carla, although there were points where their parts were so minor, but I wanted to give it to other family members at points.
I thought Mama Lizapone was a strong contender. If I didn't give it to Carla, I would have given it to her mom. So that was good.
And I laughed so much at that one scene with Frasier that I almost wanted to give it to him just for that.
Yeah, really. Yeah. We've already spoiled that, but the home run is Frasier screaming at the image of Lilith as the Grim Reaper. And my runner-up was just the Dooch. What about you? Any other good ones?
I mean, those were the key ones. And even just, like the whole getting Sam to eat and all, like just the mannerisms of the stereotypical Italian family, and the exaggeration of it to me was just wonderful.
All right, Paul, thank you very much for being on Cheerscast again. I'll certainly have you back soon. But until then, where else can our listeners find you if they want to hear more from you?
They can find me on 2 different shows. I am a co-host on Back to the Bins, where we review old comic books. And if you go back a couple of weeks, you'll see you can listen to the episode where Ryan guest starred on our Christmas episode for 2025. And the other show I do is It Jaws, where we review movies, old and new, and place them up against the Jaws scale, which is in the opening credits. You could hear what the Jaws scale is.
Fantastic, fantastic. Thanks as always. And thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
Hey, Ma.
Gino, what are you doing here?
Well, Ma, I was thinking about all that stuff you said, about making Grandma happy. And I was talking it over with MC and the Madonnas. And I figured, heck, if it'll keep this family together, someone's got to do it. Ma, I'll be Benito Mussolini.
Look, Gino, do you even have any idea who Mussolini was?
Well, no, I didn't before, but then Anthony told me all about him. My, this guy ran this whole country. And do you know what they called him? They called him Il Duce. Huh? The Duce. Hey, yeah, that's right. It's me, Duce Tortelli.